You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Okay, I'm going to just carry on talking until Josh sorts me out. Everything okay there, Josh? Good man. So Josh, you all know Josh, don't you? At the back there. Wave. Yeah, so he's actually moved away. He doesn't live here anymore, but he loves us so much he keeps coming back. And when he does, he wants to do the media. So you're just such a blessing, Josh. Anyway, welcome to Josh. Welcome to you. Welcome to all of you online. As Leslie said, I'm Tony, part of the leadership team here. Currently working quite a bit in Leinster with Jason and Paola. Over there as well, for reasons that will become apparent in time. Before I share what I want to share this morning, again, as Leslie said, during the worship, God really speaks. And I just want to share something I really believe could be for one or two of you here. During that time of worship, I just felt some people didn't really feel that they were significant enough. That really they were just a person, that God didn't really care about them, doesn't really care about you, that you are really just another person, it doesn't matter, you don't matter. And God just gave me this crazy picture of an Airbnb. Who's done Airbnb? I love doing it. Leslie and I do Airbnb all the time. And one of the songs we sang talked about having a place in the Father's house, yeah, which is in the Bible. It talks about that everyone, in a sense, there's a place for us in the house of the Father. And for a start, that makes us sons and daughters. Whether we know it or not, you're sons and daughters. And I just believe for one or two of you here, you need to know that. You need to know you are a son of God. You may not know it, but that's who you are. But also, what I believe God was saying was, there is a room for you in my house. There is a room for you. It's been reserved. In fact, it's been reserved. Now, when Leslie and I do Airbnb, so I'm just moving this up. When Leslie and I do Airbnb, normally you've got to pay a deposit. Yeah? Just to make sure you get that room. The deposit has been paid. In fact, not only the deposit has been paid, it's been paid in full. There is no debt. All he wants you to do is claim your room. Get on that Airbnb. Okay? And so this morning, if there's anybody here who feels, yeah, that's me, I'm not really Christian. I'm not really sure, you know, what this is all about. I just want you to come and see me afterwards, because God is saying to you specifically, now's the time to claim your room. Amen? Amen. Please, if that's you, you want to claim your room, you want to claim your place in heaven. That's really what it's all about. Just come and see me, because I want to pray with you and explain how you can do that. Okay? Amen. Okay, so that was what I'm going to share at all. I had nothing to do with it. But we're going to move on to continue our series, as Leslie said, on Colossians. Now, I know that David did a brief synopsis. I know that Tim has done a complete overview of the whole thing. How many of you have heard both of those last week and the week before? Put your hand up. Okay, how many of you have heard none of it? Don't be shy. That's fine. Not a problem. Okay, that's why it's important. I also do a synopsis, okay, where we've been and where we're going with this, because it's really good to get a feel for what's going on here. Colossians, this thing called Colossians, is a letter. And it's a letter sent by Paul, and as Tim reminded, and Timothy, don't forget Timothy, to a church in Colossae, okay, Asia Minor, in Turkey, a church that was there, and he sent this letter. actually really, it's more than just a letter to them. It's a letter to us. It's a letter from God to you and to me. So when we read this, we can read it as a personal thing. It's as if God sent it to you. God sent it to me. Okay? And he wrote it when he was in prison in Rome. Because of his preaching of Jesus as king. But he addressed it and sent it to a church he didn't set up. And to a people he'd never met. So that's one of the only times he's done that. And actually the church was started by a co-worker, somebody who worked with him called Epaphras, who was from Colossae. It's a bit like somebody starting a church in Hereford who lives in Hereford. That's unusual, isn't it? But hey, that's what happens. Now he'd visited Paul in Rome, Epaphras, and updated him on what was going on in this new church. And Paul was excited. However, he felt he had to write to the church to introduce himself, okay, and also to say how well they were doing, how pleased he was, but also to look at some of the issues that might come up, some of the cultural stuff that I know Tim looked at previously, and to challenge them to a greater devotion to Jesus. And as part of the letter, he focuses on Jesus as the Messiah. And in today's section, what we're looking at today is the suffering of Paul. It makes it very clear that he suffers for the gospel. But also he looks at the pressures, the temptations, and how to deal with those. And then as it goes on over the next coming weeks in chapters 3 and 4, Paul explores some of the ways that we can live. Way we can live, new ways of living because of what Jesus has done. Okay? So, at this point, up to this point, Colossians 1, 1 to 23, Paul writes about King Jesus, King over all creation. And he starts with two prayers. Firstly, he prays and thanks God for what he has learned from Epaphras, who's come to talk to him about the church. That they've been faithful to Jesus and they love God and they love their neighbours. And he's thankful to that and he prays for that and says, thank you, Lord, for that. He then moves on to pray that they will know more. That it doesn't just stop here. That there's greater wisdom, greater understanding about who this Jesus is. And in the centre of all this is a poem. Okay? He writes this poem. And this poem is just a fantastic image of the image of God through Jesus. That Jesus is the one who has the character and embodiment of God in human form. That he shares the identity of God who created all things. That Jesus was in and part of all things that were created. That he had all power and authority. And he goes on to say that not only was he, in sort of in a sense, in creation from the beginning of time, but also that he is part of this new thing, the church, right now. And so he talks about that he's the head of the church and how he, through Jesus, has brought everyone to in relationship with him, with God, through what Jesus has done. There's a huge amount of stuff in there. And I just urge you, if you haven't yet done it, please go back and read it. Okay, I'm going to share a little bit later as to why it's so important that we do this. Okay, welcome back, guys. Sorry, I'm afraid you're with us today. All right, but good to see you. So, let's look at Colossians. What I'm doing here is Colossians 1, chapter 1, verses 24 through to chapter 2, verse 5. So I'm going to read this, and then you can follow it behind me on there. Now, this is Paul writing. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but now is disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Okay. Now, one of the things Tim alluded to, and he sort of did, and I'm going to do as well, and perhaps I should have forewarned you, is look at this passage and say, well, what did you get out of it? What does it say to you? What is God saying to you? Because I can stand here and talk about what God says to me about it, but actually, what is God saying to you? This is a letter to you. This is your personal letter, as well as to to you personally, as well as to the church as a whole. And what does God say to you? What do you get from it? What are some of the things that come out of that? So I appreciate that obviously some of you have just read it for the first time. But perhaps you can just flick it back to the previous slide for me. The first slide. Thanks. So I'd like you to think of two things. Firstly, what does it say about God? And what does it say about us? That could be what it says about Paul, because Paul represents us. Okay? So who would like to kick us off? Who would like to give me something that sort of says, okay, this is what I get from this. This is the message that I'm getting from this. Who would like to start? Who's going to be brave enough to share something, anything, about what God is saying here in this? Amen. So if you, Janet just read a bit from there about the whole thing of having the glorious riches of the mystery, of the knowledge, the fullness, the riches of wisdom and knowledge. I mean, who don't want to know? Who doesn't want to know everything? You can't know everything. But who wants to know the richness of God? Don't you? I want to know. I want to know him more. And that's what Paul is wanting. He wants the people in Colossae not just to know, well, there's this person called Jesus. He wants them to know everything about him, not just about him in their head, but what's, you know, in their heart. The fullness, the riches, the wisdom, the understanding. We'll come to that in a minute, but everything about Jesus is so important. What else does it tell us, either about God or about Paul or about us? Yes. Okay, so it's just that whole thing of Christ in us, the hope of glory. As you say, it's an incredible thing, isn't it? So you've got two things going on here. You know, God in us. Well, what is that all about? So there's something about God that says God's in us. And by having God in us, Christ in us, there's something that we get. We get glory. The hope of glory. There is hope, okay? Which is absolutely fantastic. Thank you. You're going to say, yep. Yeah. Brilliant. I know you're going to about give them the microphone. We're going to finish there at that point. Anyway, thank you so much. That was absolutely fantastic. You can come up here and carry on my preach. Okay. But what he was saying there was that, in a sense, all the way through time, Christ existed. And it's now, at this point, that the mystery is revealed. Okay, this whole mystery of God's reconciliation with man. So, absolutely, there's this huge amount going on. So, I'm going to sort of, in a sense, use that and, as a way into what I want to share. But thank you for that, guys. The reason I asked you to do that is because if you don't, all you're doing is getting what's in me. It's not about me. Believe me, I have nothing more, in a sense, of revelation than you. It's for you to get it, not for me to give it. Okay? And I think one of the reasons we want to do this and go through a book like this is to help us together to understand how important it is for us to read the Bible ourselves, for us to get personal revelation of what God is saying about us, about Him, by His Spirit. Okay? If I base my faith, if I base my walk on what other people say and tell me about God, which is good, then it's never really mine. Never really mine. I can remember our boys, we've got three boys, all grown up. And praise God, they're all walking with God. They're all believers. But there was a point when they were quite small, and that probably wasn't the case. And we'd tell them about God. We'd teach them about God. We'd teach them about Jesus. But it was only that there was a point in their life, each one separately, when they found Him for themselves. And no longer was it based on what I was telling them or what Leslie was telling them. It was based on what they were getting themselves. And that's when they really had faith and they were carrying it. And that's what this is all about. It's about saying, it's about you and me to, you know, on that journey and what that means and how we can do that. You see, the thing about the Word of God, the thing about this is that it is the Rhema Word of God. It is the living, breathing Word of God. But it was written by a bloke called Paul. Don't forget Timothy. But yes, but it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. We believe that everything in the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, it's there for a purpose. It's there to help us know who God is. And so it is for us to read it. And I'll come on some of the ways I do that a little bit later. But you may pick up a nugget or two. You may get something, oh, I didn't know that. But that often, you'll walk out of this door, and I can almost guarantee pretty much most of you by next week will go, what did he say? What was it all about? Believe me, I'll walk out of this door. Within 5 minutes, I'll go, what did I share? What was it all about? Seriously. Because it's here. It's not about me giving you knowledge. It's about you finding it for yourself. Okay? What I wrote down here was, it can be knowledge, but knowledge informs. Revelation inspires. And it's about inspiration. Okay? And that's what this is all about. So I can talk about suffering and how Paul suffered and how we should suffer for the gospel, but that's fairly obvious in there when you read it. But you've got to read it. Okay? I can talk about the fact that there needs to be sound teaching, and Paul is talking to them about having a word and teaching. But it's there. You can read it for yourself. You don't need me to tell you that. So I'm not going to do that. Okay? I'm not going to go through it verse by verse. Because I don't think that's what God has asked me. I know that God has asked me to do, because I tried to do it and He kept telling me no. Because Leslie would say yesterday, I got so frustrated. Because I kept going, oh, I've got to do this. I've got to share this. I've got to put this in. I've got to explain this. And I was doing it going, this is so hard. Why? Because it wasn't what God wanted me to do. And eventually I got it. Okay, I'm a bit slow at times. But He wanted me to focus on two specific things in this whole passage, which I'm going to be doing. Seven words. 7 words in this passage bring everything together. They don't just bring everything together in this letter. They bring everything together in the whole of history. And they're the 7 words that you mentioned. If you go on to the next slide, please. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There it is. There it is. The greatest mystery of all time, summed up, revealed in 7 words. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, Leslie and I recently, last week, went to Devon. Lovely time in Devon. And we went to a particular house in Devon. You want to put the next slide up? There we go. We went to a house. Just on an off chance, anybody, don't say anything, Leslie, work out whose house this might be. Agatha Christie. Well done. Okay. Agatha Christie. So this is Agatha Christie's house, where she spent her holidays in Devon, called Greenway, okay, near Dartmouth. So Leslie and I went there and had a good look around. It was great. Now, she is one of the greatest mystery writers of all time, yeah? I think people would recognise her as, you know, one of the greatest whodunits, you know, the mystery and everything else. And what I love is this, long before she was writing mysteries, Paul was writing about a mystery. Yeah? He was talking about the mystery. Okay? And the mystery he was talking about was a much bigger one. Okay? Because it started at the beginning of time. And he gave the answer. Okay? And up to this point, everything in this letter points to the answer. And if we go through Colossians from the beginning, you'll see that in a sense he's giving clues, okay, to what the answer to the mystery might be. So let's have a look at the clues he's given here. Maybe pick one or two of them up. So we're going to go back very quickly to the next slide over to what was shared before. So this is pretty much what David shared. If you go to the next one. Okay. Can you see any clues in there? The answer to the mystery. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son. He loves. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Get it yet? He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. But God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him, and to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Do you think we're getting somewhere closer to what this mystery, the answer to it might be? Yeah? In a sense, Paul is sort of, there's this crescendo of you know, I'm just going to keep saying it, you know, it's him, it's Jesus, it's in him, it's through him. It's because of him. Oh, okay. I'm getting, something's going, you know, and But it's more than that. Because again, as our friend said earlier, if you go way back to the beginning of time, if you go way back to the Bible, to creation, if you read through the Old Testament, there are clues all the way through the Old Testament that point to Jesus as the answer to the mystery. So if you say, oh, do you know what? It's not relevant. It's, you know, lots of battles and death and all sorts of stuff. Some weird stuff that goes on in it. Is it really relevant? Yes. Because the Old Testament give clues to who the Messiah is. Who is this person who's going to deal with and solve the problem of the world? So I urge you, read the Old Testament. Don't just read the new. It's great, but read the old. A lot of it. There's a lot of clues in there as well. So they are both important. You see, what we've got is this crescendo where eventually Paul reveals Christ as the answer to the greatest mystery of all time. God's redemption of mankind to himself. How he restores our relationship with God. How he deals with sin that has separated us from God. How he deals with death and brings life. How he deals with suffering and brings hope, justice, peace, health, healing. How he restores the world to the way it should be. The answer is Jesus. And that is what this is all about. That is what Paul is getting at. Can you imagine being a Jew at the time? Now, the Jews were considered to be the chosen people of God. Yeah, they were, you know, Israelites, then became the Jews. They were the chosen people of God. They knew. They were the ones who were going to get the answer. They were the ones who were going to know and learn about and get the answer to the mystery of God and what he was going to do to the world, for the world, how he was going to do it. And they had waited thousands of years. And then what happens? God gives it to everyone else as well. It's like, what? It's a bit like reading, you know, getting an Agatha Christie book. The Jews have read all the way through the whole thing, all the clues, until the last page. And they're just about to get it, when all of us, by the way, Gentiles are anybody who's not Jewish, that includes us, suddenly God says, well, do you know what? I'm going to reveal it now. And it's like we come in and we just read the last page. Yes, we got it straight away. Thousands of years they waited. And they must go, oh, what? We get it. He reveals the mystery. He gives us the answer. Yeah? It's like, oh, thank you. Okay. We didn't have to go through the whole thousands of years to get to that point. God just gave it to us. He revealed the answer through Paul. And I love it. The answer is Jesus. God's solution is Jesus. That's the simplicity of the bit that I've got and for everything that ever comes. We were singing, nothing is better than you. That's what this is saying. Nothing is better. There is nothing that can surpass Jesus. There is nothing greater that can surpass who Jesus is and what Jesus did. You see, we are recipients of something incredible. When it says Christ in you, the hope of glory, by God's grace, we receive salvation. Christ in us is the foundation of a secure hope that we can have for our future. Through Christ in us. What does that mean, Christ in us? the hope of glory, Christ in us. Well, the only other verse I want to use, I don't want to use lots of verses to sort of back everything up. I want to use one verse, and this is in John 16. Can we go to the John 16 verse, please? It says this, when the Holy Spirit, who is truth, comes, this is Jesus talking, by the way, so the very person who we are saying is the answer to everything, he is saying this. If he says it, I'm going to believe it. And he says this, when the Holy Spirit, who is truth, comes, he shall guide you into all truth. For he will not be presenting his own ideas, but will be passing on to you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. You shall praise me and bring me great honor by showing you my glory. You see, when we say Jesus is in, Jesus actually isn't here, and he's actually not here. He's actually in heaven, interceding on our behalf at the right hand of the Father. That's where he is. That's where he is. Resurrected, up in heaven. But he said, I will send you my promised Holy Spirit. Now, the whole getting your head around the whole thing of three in the one in the three, blah-de-blah-de-blah, the Trinity, the whole different thing, a whole another time. What you've got is the Holy Spirit is Jesus, is God. God is the Spirit and Jesus. Jesus is God and the Spirit. They're all one, but they're all equally identified as something separate. Okay? It's very difficult to get your head around that. But what Jesus is saying here is, my Spirit will come. My Spirit, the Spirit of God, will inhabit you, will dwell within you. He will be the one that will show you. So Christ in you is my Spirit in you, will reveal who I am to you. And that's what this is all about. Knowing the very person of Jesus Christ, but not just knowing him in our heads, but knowing him in our hearts, in our lives. Okay? You see, when the mystery was revealed to you and to me, when we said one day, and like I said to you, some of you guys, yes, please, I'd like a home in heaven. Can I make my reservation? And God says, reservation done, reservation made, paid in full by the blood of Jesus, deposit down, all dealt with, come with me. God says, I will come with you. Not only will you dwell with me, I will dwell with you. Jesus Christ in me. Okay, I will dwell with you. You see, when we say yes to Jesus, he makes us his place of dwelling. We become his home. Okay? We become his home. He doesn't just say, you're mine. You're mine. You're mine. He also says, you're my home. You're my home. You're my home. That's what he's saying. Let me come be with you. Let me come and dwell with you. Let me come and be in your life. Let's do life together. And that's what this is all about. Emmanuel, God with us, close and personal. Christ in me, the hope of glory. It isn't an ideology. It's not the more we know, the more we get. It's not even a fuzzy feeling in our lives, in our hearts, in an emotion. It's a person that dwells in our lives with us. The person of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Who wants to do life. He wants to do life with me and with you. He wants to walk with me every day. He wants to walk with you every day. He wants to do life. Through the good, through the bad, through the ups, through the downs, through the hurt, all the stuff. He wants to walk with us through it all. That's the mystery of Jesus Christ. In me, the hope of glory. And so Paul goes on to say, not only is it, here he is, this is it, this is what it's all about. He then says, but, we've got to do the same thing. We've got to proclaim one thing. There is one thing we need to tell people. There is one thing only, really, we need to say to everybody else we meet. By the way, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Hello. Oh, Jesus is the answer. That's it. All the other stuff, they will learn. They can get it themselves, as we're going to find out. Jesus is the answer. That's what people need to hear. Okay? We're called to share this with everyone we meet. If I go back to Agatha Christie, has anyone ever seen one of her most famous books made into a play, The Mousetrap? Has anyone actually seen it? Now, I've never seen it. I've never read the book. But my understanding is that that particular play, whether at the end or at some point, they do ask you, do not share the answer. Do not give away the end. Is that right? Yeah? Don't give it away. Okay? So instead, with Agatha Christie's mystery, don't say a word. Okay? But that's not the case with this mystery. You see, we've now been given the answer to this mystery. And what Paul is saying is, tell everybody! Yeah? Don't worry, you know, don't let them work it out for themselves. Tell them. Here's the answer to the greatest mystery of all time. We are to reveal the answer to everybody we meet. We are to shout it from the rooftops in whatever way we can. And so everything after this that Paul talks about is urging us to know Christ better, is urging us, is urging the Colossian church at the time to say, get to know him. His riches, his wisdom, everything about Jesus. If you can get to know him, you've got it. That's what it's all about. And so that's why Paul prays this in chapter 2, final bit here, we're coming to the end. Chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, he says this. Why do we need to know Jesus? Why? Why is he praying for them? Why is he so passionate that he is prepared to be flogged and shipwrecked and chained? Why is he so passionate that he's prepared to almost to be stoned to death, to be dragged out of places? Why is he so passionate? And this is the reason why. And it says they, but I want us to put, you can either put me, or you can put you, I don't mind which. That you, or me, that I may be encouraged in heart and united in love. That I may have the full riches of complete understanding. Whoa, that's even more than Solomon. In order that I may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Oh, I've just thought. It just came to my head. If I want to know really what life is all about, if I want to know the hidden riches and the knowledge and the wisdom, I want to know, I really want to get, what you know, the question of life. The only place I can find it is where? In Christ. Where? Because that's where it's hidden. But if I get to know him, I get to know that. Yeah? It's knowing him allows me to get all the other stuff. Okay? That's what this is all about. And it doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian. Leslie and I have been Christians since, what, 1987? 87, 87. Some of you have been way longer than that. Some of you may have been Christians only a few weeks, a few years. It doesn't matter. You see, it's all about us, every one of us, continuously pressing more into knowing who Jesus is. And that is why reading the Word, that is why prayer, that is why worship, that is why meeting together and discussing and sharing stuff is so important. You see, no matter how long we've been a Christian, there's always more. There's always more. the depth of riches, of knowledge, of understanding, it's endless. Because knowing Jesus, in a sense, is endless. There's always more to be had. We've never got it all. None of us. I don't care what anyone says. They don't know it all. They haven't got it all. There is always more for us to have. God showed me, when I was preparing for this, God showed me a picture of a picture. Can you put the first slide up for us, please? You see, when I first became a Christian, we'll get there in a minute, there we go. When I first became a Christian, to be fair, I was brought up as Catholic, but it was when I was in when I was a lot later, in my 20s, that I actually really found faith in God. I really found Jesus, okay? And I knew stuff. I knew bits of the Bible. I was quite well-versed, actually, in it. And when I became a Christian, it was a bit like this picture. I sort of knew bits. I didn't quite know who this Jesus really was. But I knew a lot of stuff in my head. Lots of stories. And many of you may have gone to Bible, you know, gone to... learned stuff in primary school and in RE lessons, and you got, I know stuff, but you didn't know him. And when I first became a Christian, was the first time I thought, ooh, getting to know him. And the more I read and the more you read the Bible, the more you read the Word, what happens is you start to see more of him. More of him comes through. So, oh, look, a bit more. Starting to see a bit more of this person. And as we keep going a little bit more, we can begin to start to see who this Jesus is. The outline becomes a little clearer. The detail becomes a little, there's more detail. We get to know him a little bit more. And if we keep doing it, you see, some may be happy with that. I know Jesus. I know him. Look, I can see him. Look, there he is. There he is. But actually, there's even more. We get colour. We get depth. We get greater understanding. We get more of who Jesus is. More is revealed to us. And that is why we are encouraging, and I'm encouraging even myself, read the Word of God. Don't stop reading. If you have stopped, start. If you never started, start. Because the Word of God reveals who Jesus is to each one of us. Amen? Amen. Why do we do this? Final slide. So that you may have... Oh, final slide. One up? Or is that one up from there? That's it. That you may have the full... I didn't put it in there, sorry. You may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that you may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's what this is all about. That is the mystery that Paul revealed. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that is why I urge you, don't just sit here on a Sunday, take what I've said, walk away, and that's it for your week's dose of God. Go back over the week. Look at it for yourself. What does God tell me? What does God say to me? Because it's the living Word. He will speak to you if you are prepared to listen. And one way of listening is reading his Word. So finally, guys, because I appreciate it's just gone 12. Just a couple of things. I hope, by the way, that you got that, yeah? Brilliant. Okay, a couple of things that might help you, and it certainly helps me in my reading of the Bible. So, sorry, can you put that next slide up? Thanks ever so much. So one of the things I have, and many of you probably have them, is a Bible app, yeah? Yeah, I mean, all these things, it used to be a day when you used to say, you come on a Sunday and say, will you all open your Bibles, please? Now it's coming on a Sunday and go, will you all open your Bible app, please? Okay. You know, I sit there and people think I'm on my phone. No, I'm actually on the app, or I'm actually doing notes on my phone, but I can see you're doing it there. Thank you. But what you've got is, this is the Bible app. It's actually a Bible study with Nikki and Pippa Gumbel. Many of you know Nikki Gumbel, part of Holy Trinity Brompton, created Alpha, got up and running. An incredible communicator of the message. Really easy to understand. And he puts things in ways that even someone as daft as me can understand. And so I've got an app, and in that app, it has a Bible in a year. And the thing about the Bible in the year, go to the next slide. The Bible in the year with Nikki Gumbel is that it has, each day, you get a reading with, in a way, he does it thematically. So he'll pick particular scriptures throughout the Bible. So you're not literally reading it from beginning to end, which can get, let's be honest, a bit tedious at times. He takes things and he says, okay, these are the scriptures that I'm going to focus on today. And he puts them, so you get some from the New Testament, some from the Old Testament, some from the letters and various things. And you tend to, and then he'll bring stories around that. Now, I know I'm just saying to you, it's all about what you get from it. But it's quite a nice way of helping you just to sort of get into it. Oh, yeah, I like that. And you can see where God is saying almost the same thing in different places. That's a really nice way of doing it. So I love doing that one. And you can either have it audio or you can read it. It's entirely up to you. And that's, again, you can just download it or you can do it through various apps. So that's Nikki Gumbel. That's what I tend to be using, Bible in a Year. That's one example of Bible in a Year. Here's another one, which we did a few years ago as church, or we were encouraged to do. And can anyone remember this? Cover to Cover. Oh, yeah. So this is a chronological plan to reading the Bible. So what that means is, as you read it, then what you're reading is each day, things that happened at that time. Because when you read the Bible, certainly the Old Testament in particular, you read things and then suddenly you think, hold on, I've read that before, that was here. And you find that some things are repeated in different books. Okay? And that's fine, but it can be a bit confusing. Even Genesis, when you read that, you think, hold on, that doesn't quite make sense. Now, sometimes reading it chronologically, and this is a good one, Cover to Cover, as an example of that, I heard it there, is that it enables you to read it and get a sense of what really happened when throughout the history of the Bible. Okay, from beginning to end. So that's another thing that you could use. And I think there are versions online you can probably get now, or if you are a paper copy, you can buy them, things like that. But that's, again, it's a Bible in 1 year. And if you, you know, in a sense, whatever you use, it's about getting into the Word. It's about just spending some time and being, in a sense, methodical with it, because that then gets you into a routine and you'll be amazed of what God says to you in it. I just love doing this because I go, oh yeah, that's so good. And it's in me then. It's in me because God said it to me, not through somebody else. So that makes sense. That's my encouragement to you guys, and it's an encouragement for me to do that as well. Okay? But I hope this morning, you know, we've got a real sense of the answer to everything in this world. Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. I would ask you not only to read what you haven't done, but read next week's before whoever's doing it next week. All right? So if they ask you what it is, you know exactly what to say. Okay? So be encouraged. And again, like I said, I brought that word. If that's you, I'd love to pray with you and just talk to you. Okay? What I shared earlier about being in the room, acclaiming your room. Okay? God bless you guys.